Good morning. I'm so excited to be here with one of the most impressive people in travel publishing, Pauline Frommer. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh my gosh, it was such an honor for me to speak at the Travel and Adventure Show this year and to see you in so many cities. And I can't believe that, what started with you and your dad, the Frommer travel guides that you've published, is it really true? 75 million books?
Yeah, it started well before I was born. So it started in 1957. I can tell the story very, very quickly. My dad was drafted into the Korean War, and luckily, the day before he would have been sent to Korea, the powers that be discovered that he spoke Russian and German because he was the son of immigrants. So instead of being sent off to Korea, which was a very bloody war, he was sent to Berlin and started traveling all over Europe. But this is after World War II, so Europe was in rubble, and most of his fellow GIs just stayed on the base. They were too nervous to travel because they thought if they couldn't spend a lot of money, it wouldn't be worthwhile. And when he came back to the base, they would pepper him with questions, and he thought, well, maybe I'll write a little book for my fellow GIs. He called it the GI's Guide to Europe, and he self-published it. The day it went on sale, it sold out at the PXs across Europe. And so when he got out of the army, he thought, well, maybe civilians would like this too. And again, he self-published. He self-published a little book called Europe on $5 a Day, which became the best-selling guidebook of all time when it came out in 1957. And so that was the start of it all. But I wasn't born till well after that.
Wow, oh my God, I had no idea. That's such an incredible story.
Yeah, well, he was very lucky because the jet age was starting. And after World War II, Americans had a lot more money than people in Europe did for the most part. And so they were finally able to go out and see the world. And I think if you ever go to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, the weight of that war and the numbers involved, I mean, it was the bloodiest war in the history of humanity. And so I think getting through the other side of that was this feeling probably of great possibilities and joy and relief. And that's what spurred travel. I think it's spurring travel right now, getting out of that awful pandemic. Everybody wants to be on the road. So even though inflation is high, travel numbers are higher still because we just, I think, came out of that pandemic with the understanding that life is short and that you've got to grab life as you when you can, and there's no better way to grab it than through travel, I think.
Oh my goodness. I can see why the Frommer Travel Show podcast is on the New York Times top travel show to listen to because you're just so interesting. I'm
Thank
fascinated.
you.
So, please thank your dad for his service. And
I will.
is he still work with you in the company?
It's not easy being 93. So I see him at least once a week, and I tell him everything that's going on. But on a day-to-day basis, he's not involved anymore.
He's earned the right maybe to have some relax in his day. And
Yeah.
do you, I know you have so many different books and so many new books, but does your family still travel together?
Well, you mean me with my father?
Yeah.
He's not traveling that much either. Being
93.
93,
Okay, that's fair. That's
he
true.
doesn't hear well, he doesn't see well.
All right, well, we're still impressed. I can see all the book titles behind you. You have so.
Those are our babies. So my father wrote the first book. And he wrote it in a very personal way. The thing people would always say about his writing was, I felt like I was traveling with a friend. And we try and keep that going with the current books. So all of our books are written by local writers. So we can't write all of them. That would be insane. Can't do it. I write New York City since I'm based in New York. I have a wonderful woman named Margie Rin who lives in Paris and she writes Paris. I have a great author named Liz Heath in Rome and she writes Rome and so on. And we tell them that our biggest rival isn't Lonely Planet and it isn't Rick Steves. It's TripAdvisor and Yelp. And being the OG, people often think, oh, I can't trust travel guides. It's all an institution. It's written by committees. And so we tell our writers, you need to show the reader that you're a human being. So you have to tell them what doesn't work as well as what does, because a lot of unlike a lot of travel journalism, we don't get paid to put a hotel in the book or on our website or a restaurant. And I think people assume that we're all influencers now, and that the ethics have gone out of travel journalism, and that isn't the case with Frommer's. And so, you know, we like our wonderful England writer, Jason Cochrane. He says, don't waste your time on the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. They're going to play ABBA tunes. It's just gotten really silly. It's a total mob scene. And you can actually go to another part of London where they do a smaller changing of the guard and get right up to it and show up 5 minutes before it starts rather than having to waste 2 hours of your time waiting for the thing to happen. And so, you know, we're not, our reader is our only client. And so we take that seriously.
That is really good to know, because I do think people are confused about what's a sponsored content and what's paid for, what's advertorial. And I think that's a really important commitment. And I know when you speak at the travel show, I've always been mesmerized with you really share a lot of your best travel tips. Like, and one of the things that I think is really important for people, and you, I've heard you speak about this many times, is especially as you mentioned, it's been a challenge on the COVID coaster. Could you speak a little bit for people about why it's important to have travel insurance?
Well, it's not important if you're just taking a flight. Okay. And it's not important if you're driving somewhere and just staying in a hotel. But if you're paying a lot of money for a cruise or a tour, or if you have to put down a hefty deposit on a vacation rental, you're crazy not to get travel insurance, because that money could be gone. But there's no one travel insurance company that's always the best one. So I like the travel insurance marketplaces. They have names like Square Mouth, Insure My Trip, travelinsurance.com. There are other fine ones. What you do is you go to them, you put in your name, you put in your age, that counts. You put in the details of your trip, and within 30 seconds, they've spat back a list of 500 different policies. And inevitably, the one that covers the most isn't the most expensive one. Usually it's one from somewhere in the middle of the list. And I've used this, and each time I've done it, I've ended up with an insurance policy from a different provider. When I went on safari in Africa, John Hancock had the best one. When I went to walk the W Trail in Patagonia, in Chile, Allianz did best for us. So you never know what it's going to be.
Thank you. Because I do think it's really important that people understand, that people know that it's complicated. And unfortunately, I think that makes a lot of people give up. And I know I've heard you speak about it several times. And I really believe, you know, when it was September 11th, the cruise company that I was working for went bankrupt. And it is a challenge. People sometimes buy the insurance from the provider. And we know that,
that
could be a mistake if things don't go your way. So I really appreciate that. Can you tell people about some of maybe the new books that are out or places that you're really recommending for 2023 and 2024?
Well, interestingly, Greece was one of the very first countries to come out of the pandemic and start welcoming tourists again. And so I think that got them a lot of the early travelers who went there and went, wow, because in the last decade, Athens has done a hell of a lot to make itself much more visitor friendly. They've built a glamorous new archaeological museum rather than the dusty old place that used to exist near the Parthenon. And you go there and they give you context for what you're seeing, all these ancient masterworks. They really help you understand it. And they have great restaurants now. The islands have always been spectacular. They still are. And so we have a new Athens and the Greek Islands book. It just came out maybe 2 weeks ago, written by Stephen Brewer, who's an incredible expert and a very erudite guy, who helps our readers understand why things may feel familiar in Greece, because so much of American culture comes from the classical era. And he really does an amazing job of kind of drawing the same, the strands of history so that it feels contemporary, so that you understand why history is still shaping our lives today. So we're really, really proud of the Athens and the Greek Islands book. I'm working on one right now, which will be out in a couple of months, on Maui. And Maui, it's really interesting. The dirty little secret is you can go to fromers.com and see all of our guidebooks online too. You can't carry them with you, so we still know that people buy the books, but you can see the text. And so as I was editing Maui, I was looking to see, we have in our content management system, you can see what the prices were every time we update. And I realized that from pre-pandemic to today, prices for hotels have doubled in Maui, literally doubled. A cheap hotel in Maui right now is $300 a night. Wow. Which is insane. For moderate hotels, you're looking $600, $700, $800 a night. If you want really the glamorous ones, that's over $1,000.
Oh my goodness. It's that's not
crazy.
A lot of people can't do that.
Well, so I spoke to Jeannie Cooper, who's our author, and said, what the hell's going on? And she said, because of understaffing, a lot of these hotels are only 50% full. And so they, because they cannot handle a full hotel. And so they're just charging what they think the market will bear. But what we're finding is, so you have to make your reservation a couple of months before going to Maui, but the week before you travel, go to one of the private clubs that gets better rates on hotels. Travel and Leisure magazine has one called the Travel and Leisure Club. There's one called Room Steals. The one I tend to use, which has some problems, but still has very good prices, is one done by Trip Scout, and it's only found on Instagram. So you write to Trip Scout, or you go to at hotels, and you say where you want to go, and they give you a list of what the prices will be. The reason it has problems is they don't often surface all the information you might need to make a decision. So for example, I was looking last year for a place near Acadia National Park, found a really good rate, didn't realize until I looked at other sources of information that it was a hotel with a bathroom down the hall, which some people wouldn't want. But But the prices were still 25 to 50% less than they were everywhere else. Why is that? Every hotel on the planet right now has a contract with Expedia, Orbitz, Travelocity, Priceline, et cetera, all of the major booking engines. And those contracts state that they cannot give discounts that are searchable, that are much lower than what they're giving to Expedia, Orbitz, Travelocity, Priceline. But these hoteliers still want to move rooms, but they don't want the whole world to know that they're willing to let you pay 50% less than what you usually pay. So when you go to, say, Instagram and at hotels, what comes up can't be searched by Google. And so the hotels can move a handful of rooms. And so that's what people are doing when they're going to Maui right now, so that they're not paying these insane prices. And so we're trying to break this down in the book so that people can still have a vacation in Maui and not, you know, pull their hair out for how much they're paying. And so that will pay for the cost of the book.
Wow. Like I said, I've heard you speak many times. I think that you have incredible, a vast knowledge from, generations of being in this business. And what about, I know that you have a new book, and I know that people are so excited right now about Yellowstone from the TV show. Are you seeing a lot of people buying? When did that book come out, and are people really scurrying to get to Yellowstone?
Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons came out maybe 3 weeks ago. We were in the process of updating it, and then these terrible floods hit Yellowstone. This was about maybe a year and a half ago now. And so we stopped. We have a wonderful woman named Elizabeth Kwok Heffernan, who's our author there. And she stopped her work and waited for a good 5 months until we had more clarity on what was going to change, because these were really devastating floods. I mean, entire roads were wiped out, and a lot has had to be rebuilt there. And so as soon as it was clear that things were going to be as they were going to be for the next year or so, she went back to work. And, right now, Lonely Planet is the bestseller for it, but it's a book that came out pre-flooding. Mm. So I have a feeling a lot of things that are in it probably aren't as up to date as they need to be. And that's the hard thing with travel books. The good thing about it is, when you go to, say, TripAdvisor and look at a hotel review, you're taking the advice of someone who's been to exactly one hotel. They may not know that right down the road, there's a place that's just as nice but cheaper. Our authors visit every place, so they have context. They can talk about places in relationship to your other choices, whether it's hotels, restaurants, attractions, what have you. There is some lead time in putting together a guidebook.
So one of the things I know you spoke about in the show, and I think that because the Olympics will be in Paris, a lot of people are going to be thinking about travel to France. Will you talk about, I remember you were speaking about something, you were on a bike tour, but it was hard to find the information online and ended up being so economical.
Yeah, we actually have a new France book that's being researched right now. It'll be out in time for the Olympics. But I went to a city called Dijon, which is in the region of Burgundy, which is, of course, a major wine-growing region. And I looked online to see what I should do. And in Dijon, I obviously also looked at the Frommer Guide. But when I looked online, Google told me that there was absolutely nothing to do in the city of Dijon. That the only thing to do when you go to Dijon was to get out into the countryside and take a wine tour. And I thought, that's weird. Our book has all of these museums in it, and they look great. One is considered the fourth most important museum in all of France. Why aren't these being brought up by Google? And I realized it was because they were all free. And so all of the sites that cover travel and that now make a lot of money by selling entrance fees and tours and the like weren't covering these museums because there was no money to be made. And, Google hoovers all of the information up online, up. And so their search was also kind of screwy. Dijon was the seat of government for the Dukes of Burgundy. So it has spectacular architecture, gorgeous museums, ancient mansions, extraordinary restaurants where everything is made with wine in some way, whether it's beef bourguignon or these eggs murée, which are these eggs that are poached in red wine and come with a red wine sauce and are really delicious. They're served at dinner as appetizers. But you'd never know this if you just searched online.
Well, you are such an incredible, gracious resource, and I am so honored that you were able to spend time with me here on the podcast. Obviously, people are going to want to know more. So tell everybody, how can they find the podcast? Where's the best place to buy the books? Tell them, how do we find more?
Well, for the podcast, you go to fromers.com, which is FROMMERS.com/podcast. And you can find, we cover a lot of the breaking news at fromers.com. Like recently, remember when coming out of the pandemic, all of these destinations were saying they would give people free travel? Hong Kong actually followed through on it. And we were able to post last week that Americans could get, I think it was 5,000 free airfares to Hong Kong. So you come to fromers.com, we'll have great breaking news that you can use like that. And, your local bookstore. You can obviously find us on Amazon, but I always push people to go to the great independent bookstores because I want to support them.
And if they want to meet you in person, you'll, I imagine, be next year at the best show, the Travel and Adventure Show.
No. I think I'll be at the Travel and Adventure shows. I don't know my schedule yet. Have they contacted you? They haven't contacted me yet.
No, but I look forward to seeing you there, and I can't wait to learn more from you. And again, I just really appreciate you making the time to come speak with me on my podcast. Thank you.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you.